the first bit of chapter 41, where we spoke about the importance of avoda, and particularly the idea of avoda as motivated by yira, fear. Why is this important? As we said then, when a person serves God out of love alone, what's he doing? What makes him feel good? Again, it's very nice that he's a refined person who gets his satisfaction from serving, and his love is directed to serving God rather than to who knows what. But still, what is he doing? Generating his own satisfaction. Service is important because it takes the person out of doing things for me and you start doing it for him. That's the fundamental nature of service. And therefore, service connects it very to the idea of awe. Because the first thing in realizing the idea of serving God is that when you love somebody, something, when you love God, there's a point of connection. You love what you can understand and relate to. Even if you realize, oh, he's above my understanding, but it's a realization that he's above my understanding. You've got some sort of foothold, something to latch onto, that because of that, your love comes. And so therefore, there's never going to be that degree of avoda. Where do you get avoda? When you realize, oh, he is different from me, and I serve him because I must, in response to his command. That is motivated by yira, fear. So service and yira are connected. And we finish with the statement, again, said this is one of the 12 psukim, one of the 12 verses which kids learn by heart, and they say, you know, almost continually, that a person has to contemplate that Hashem Yitzvah, God is standing above him. Molech Horos Kavodah, the same God in the entire earth is filled with his glory. To Magid Olav, and he's looking at him, to both inquires the lay, he is searching his koyas, literally his kidneys, his insides, the lay with his heart, in Odo Kaloi, if the person is serving God in a befitting manner.
I had a question. I think it was recent in China, talking about the kidneys are a mashal for Netzach.
Don't worry about that one.
It's just because it came up again.
Here we're not going there.
You're saying that when you don't have a foothold in something, you don't have a piece of something, then you can have yira, but you can't have
yira,
you have a piece of something?
The idea of yira really requires you to understand that he's above you, that you have no peace. Abba is, I understand what I'm loving. I have some sort of connection to it. Yira is, he's absolute uniqueness, something above me entirely. There's also the point of Avodah, but that's already a whole different ballgame. The outcome, because God is standing over a person and checking him, sir, I'm on the top of page 112. Because God is standing over a person and testing him, sir, go the form of the aim of the yira. You must serve him with awe and with fear, as one who is standing before the king. Again, as you mentioned, it's a good thing to meet, to be in a position where you're standing before a person where you feel small. Everybody should meet a couple of those people. I mean, most of the teachers I have, like I've had, I'm not thinking about, there's of course a Rebbe level of feeling small. But I'm even going there. Like that's, especially when the people who haven't met a Rebbe, that becomes up, I'm telling you a story about a story. No, let's deal with things that we can relate to, that we have seen. Like most of the teachers I've had, they're a little bit smarter than me, learned a little bit more than me. Do I step them? Yes. Do I stand before them with fear? No. I mean, he learned a little bit more, he's a little bit smarter. So I respect him for that. But it's hard to say. I mean, I can't. Say, I'm trembling because of this person, because he knows so much. No, he doesn't. He's just a little bit smarter, learned a little bit more than I did. And I've had some teachers, but again, not even Rebbe level, just real serious teachers. They're thinkers. They don't like baseball games. They're not interested in the stock market. They've got other stuff on their mind. Real stuff. And they're capable, involved with it. And that defines their personality. And when I stand in front of such a person, I'm in awe. I'm in awe. Again, I'm not talking about Rebbe level. I'm talking about, the teacher, I know. A couple of them, actually. Well, I would stand before him in absolute respect. Well, hey, now let's go a little bit deeper. So you can understand what standing before a Rebbe is, standing before a Melech, and standing before God. The Yamit Machshav Bezu, a person should deepen his consciousness of this in his thought. You ever think of something for more than 10 seconds? I didn't focus that on any person in particular, so don't raise your hand and say, yes, I did. But most of us have a don't usually. And to take an idea and, contemplate, that's a skill. And it's a developed skill. It requires work. I told this to somebody the other day. Now, the captain's brother next to me in shore. He was, as a kid, he was really an accomplished tennis player. An accomplished tennis player. Now, anybody in Vancouver knew that Kuzia Kaplan was his name, actually. I didn't go by Kuzia then, but anyway, that Kuzia Kaplan was the best. They went on a trip into California. At that time, the old tennis pros, money was something dead. So you could pay $50 and get a game with Pablo Gonzalez. And if you name Pablo Gonzalez, meet you guys. But he was, whoever is one of the major tennis pros today, Pablo Gonzalez then was like, wow. They have a Hall of Fame in tennis. And basically, I tell you, say Lee Mays, right? Hall of Fame, but anyway. So he was playing with Pablo Gonzalez, and of course, he's a tennis player. He was making mincemeat out of him. But at one point, the captain's brother did a fierce backhand, and he put it right past Pablo Gonzalez. And he looks at him and says, I can make you a tennis pro. Do you want to do that? And he looks at him and says, maybe. What does it take? See that backhand that you did? That was good. Practice it 1,000 times a day. And his brother looked, and the captain's brother looked at him and says, sorry, Mr. Gonzalez, I don't want to do that. Well, if you have to practice a backhand 1,000 times a day, it surely applies with thought, with spiritual thought. You really got to do it. And it's not, you take the 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 1,000, no. But every day, as you said here, you say to my mom, before putting on film, before studying Torah, take the time to think of what you are doing. It's an important spiritual quality. Probably the most important thing you can learn. Because this idea of being able to control your thought and focus it then opens you up to be able to do that continuously. So this is what the author is saying.
You said to think about what you're doing.
Think about the weakness of what you're doing. If you're standing before God and God is looking at your behavior and watching you. Machshav azuz, which is what you do. The Yarach book, the Yichol Chasagot, the Smokul, Machshav Tzir Pnashino, and you should lengthen your contemplation according to the degree of the capacity of your brain and your thought, and according to your free time. With Nei Eitzek HaTorah, before studying Torah, or Mitzvah, or doing a Mitzvah. Now, as you're going to see later on, he's going to say, say to start at 11 o'clock, then my bed. Before you open your Gemara, you think of what you're doing. That God is understanding you, hoping and watching you, and watching you. It says, For example, before putting on Tassim Tfilin. Gam Yisbonen, Ech Shukar in Sofiach, Ula Sorim Kol Amin, Umatal, and Uluat in Elyon, Merubush, Otios, Fafachus HaTorah. So also contemplate, meditate, how God's infinite life, which transcends all worlds and fills all worlds, is sublime will, is enclosed in the letters and the wisdom of the Torah. over tzitzis, or if you told in the tzitzis, the betzulin eilu. The b'chiyosei b'rosho, and by reading the words of Torah, or putting on, enclosing yourself in the tzitzis or the tefillin, u'mamshich oro yisper chelo, you draw down God's light upon you. And our chelik or kam imal shebetof b'chol. I mean, part of God, the part of God, the spark of God from above that is in your body. The kaiu levasib or yisper. Include and subsume yourself in his life. It's what happens when you're doing a mitzvah. Your neshama, which is an actual part of God, is enclosed in his life, and it's united with its spiritual source. Now, when you think of that, when that, before you open your remora, before you put on your tefillin, I guarantee you, the way you open your remora and put on your tefillin will be a little bit different. And if you do 1,000 backhands, now if you continually do that on a regular basis, that difference is going to be compounded and have a continuous effect on your personality. Most of us, and that's really one of the problems in our divine service, that we take it kind of casual. Let's put it more up. Hey, look, I want to, it's a good thing. I mean, you want to be able to be at ease in what you do. If you're not at ease, you know, like I've seen a lot of people flip out. I mean, literally, you know, this, I, you know, just like you put yourself under, you know, pressure, you know, because of your job, and you put the pressure because of your relationship. Typically, you know, people crack because they have pressure financially, emotionally. People can crack because they have spirit. They put themselves into spiritual pressure. It's not good. It's not right. None of that. It's not even service of God. If you start to, if you're not relaxed. That said, together with the relaxed, comfortable idea that hey, let's run a bottle of Gemara, is that the wow and the awareness that. Torah. And at this moment, what's happening is I'm bonding my soul to this Torah. Not quite the same idea, but it's related. There was once a sage, when we leading rabbis of the future generation. And he had a friend who was also a scholar, and they were studying the idea of Tzimtzum Kipshita, not Kipshita, is the Tzimtzum total and absolute, or not really that. Steve Pepper is the concept in the writing of Lily's up. And his friend, the real sage, didn't want to write to that bit about this. So he had his friend, who was the lesser scholar, but still a distinguished scholar, had a relationship with that beforehand, but he wrote to that bit. Whatever gives him a detailed letter, it's printed in the back of the Kutasifus, Volume 10, on the idea of Simpson Kipshita or not Kipshita. It's a letter, when you study that subject, it's worthy of reading. About 6 months later, this lesser scholar has connected to Rebbe, writes up another letter about a totally different subject. And then he answers his question. And then he writes to him I get a PS, but actually, no, it's in Hebrew, but it's the same kind of letters as P. If you do it in English, it's PS. In Hebrew, it's a PS. And he says, remember what I wrote to you about Susan Schuster, that's not true? That God really didn't withdraw himself? That means, picture the giving of the Torah. Picture the temple. Picture Rashi saying the Zohar. That, and even more, is happening at every moment. That's what it means that God has not withdrawn himself from the world. Okay, so see it and feel it in Revelation. But because you don't see it and feel it in Revelation, does that mean it is not happening? Absolutely not. Same thing I did say. And, you know, obviously, in such a situation, and what happened to Matan Torah? The people die, literally, in fear. They're so... So, that idea, you know, if you realize that this is what's happening now, so you should really have this sense of awe. So what the Rebbe is saying, is that before a couple of, before Panyan Tillin, before studying Torah, before doing this stuff, take a little time to contemplate this idea each time. No, don't get you have to be careful. You don't want to freak out on it. Because, you know, if you really think about it, it's something which can actually shock you out of your boots forever. But doing it honestly, really contemplating what the Torah is, is going to change in a very thorough and encompassing manner. More, then it goes on, more particularly. There are clock in a particular way, the killing the vastly the child in the chachmosa being also the natural peace. He's writing in shorthand here, but what he's trying to say is that every mitzvah has a particular intent to find a certain dimension of our spiritual personality. What is tefillin supposed to do? Tefillin is supposed to connect and include and subsume our wisdom and our understanding in our God soul, in the wisdom and understanding of God the Infinite One. And with the Beshes, there are thought the Barshes Kodos, the Hoya Kiviyeko, which are in particular enclosed in the Parshios, in the passages, is Kodesh and Hoya Kiviyeko. In other words, there are four passages in the Shema. That's why the head tefillin has four compartments. They are Kadesh, Lehoyah Tiviecha, Shema, and Lehoyam Shemoa. Each of the, now, we explain that there are four intellectual dimensions in our personality. The power of Chochma, that's in Kadesh, Kodesh, and you Kabbalists out there, Kodesh is always Chochma. Kedusha and Chochma are together because they're both the Havdalah, separate, distinct, apart. You're not a Kabbalist, you skip that one. So Kadesh is the power, is our Chochma, is binding our Chochma to his Chochma, the Hoya to the effort is Bina, binding our Bina to his Bina. And he explains exactly what he means. The Hainish Lolishtamesh, Chokmosu Binoso, Shabanapso, Bilti Lashem Rabada. That you should use your wisdom, your understanding, and your soul solely for God's purposes. You've got a mind, use it for telling. That's what it's given. Again, you have to be careful because as we open up the rites in chapter 8, there is a possibility of using your mind for other forms of wisdom for the sake of Torah knowledge. In other words, you can be a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant, because hey, this deal, I have to earn a panasa. Why should I earn a panasa with my hands? I'll use a panasa with my mind. Or you can use this secular knowledge sometimes to get a deeper understanding of godliness. There's a book called The Tao of Physics. When a person got into higher physics, he realized that it's a whole basically a spiritual point here. So there is the potential to, when we say that you should use your mind, your understanding, the wisdom and understanding for God, we're not necessarily meaning solely Torah study. On the other hand, very much so. And I told the story before, but I'll tell it short. But there was a guy called Chaim Moshe Alperovitch. And there was an Alperovitch family here in Eretz Yisrael. This was the grandfather, great grandfather of so many people you'll see. If you're any people visit Hanok, there's that kind of family. In Hanok, their daughter is married to his great grandfather. That could be in that family also. Anyway, so Chaim Moshe worked in that all this Jerusalem stone you see I'm building. You know why it's called Jerusalem stone? Because there are marble quarries outside the city where they used to get it from. I don't know if they still do, but then they were. And then, you know how they used to get it? Good old pickaxes and similar stuff. And he was working, and he would work every day, start early in the morning. Hard physical work. The owner of the quarry saw that this was a little bit of a special person, a grade above the others, and wanted to do a favor. He said, look, I'm sure you can do clerical work. Why don't you come? I'll give you a job in the office, do some of the accounts. I'm sure you can pick it up. It's not super difficult. Okay, probably better. After half a day in the office, he goes up to the owner and says, can you switch me back out to the quarry? And so the owner, at that time, religious and non-religious, there was some friction. Somebody saying, I think, no, everything is here extremely polite, extremely nice. So why do you want to go back out to the quarries? And here, you know, there's a fan, you know, there's an air conditioning system, a fan, you know, the work is easier. Just, yeah, it's a little bit more comfortable, and the work is easier. But here, I have to work with my mind. There, I used to do back-breaking physical work, but my mind was free. I was able to review, you know, a perek of Mishnayos, a perek of Tanya. Here I can't do that. I gotta use my mind for you. I'd much rather use my body for you and have my mind free. I mean, the Gemara, which afterwards people, you know, go down to see it, on the plus, you be a tefel, that you should have, you should eat the labor of your hands and not the labor of your mind, that your mind should be free for what it's really giving to you for. Well, that guy lived that story. I mean, that's what, you know, again, so there is an idea of using your mind for other things, and now that I always tell certain people to do that. And not everybody is capable of this level of devotion, and why work with your hands, work with your head, and you'll earn more, be more respectable. And the whole process of, you know, being a fulfilled person in Torah will come out that way when you do this, when you do it with Shem Shemayim. But it's clear, and what the Rebbe is saying here, that the ultimate expression is your mind should be dedicated to Torah. That's what you, and that's what you, when you think about what, you know, what am I supposed to be thinking about when I put on tefillin? Well, tefillin you put on your head, it's sticking out. Or, you know, tefillin is bonding, as we're going to say in a moment, bonding your mind and your heart to the service of God. That's what you should know. You should contemplate before you put on tefillin. So here, the Rebbe is explaining exactly what he means by that. And for, so that was two parshas of the Shema, two passages in the Shema. The Chaim Yibati was called the Chaim Yibati Sheva Nafsho, a kol of Chesedit Vuva, Shem Yir Mi'ava Sheva Libo, the Yibati Elu. And you should also subsume and include the level of Das in your soul, which includes Chesedit Vuva, which have the expression in fear, in love, in one's heart, in God's sublime knowledge. In other words, even though in general we speak about three intellectual potentials, Koch, Magdim, and Das, here we have, we're speaking about four passages of Tefillin, because Das, which is the more emotional tendency of knowledge. Das is apply, is like bonding yourself to that knowledge, applying it to the point where you apply it in your heart. That level of Das has already branched towards Chesed, Avodah, and Vura, fear. So that's why we have four passages in Tefillin. Shema is tendency to love, and Yom Shemola is the Das, which is tendency to good fear. And that's what it says from Moshkos of the Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the Shabbat HaLev V'HaMoach, that you are subjugating your mind and your heart. And this is what the Rebbe has done. Like the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm bonding, tying, filling on my arm, facing my heart, and on my head, It means I'm subjugating my mind and my heart, the mind and my head, and the emotions in my heart in service of God. So after that, it's giving us the spiritual dimension of that service. But he persists, and when you're putting on tzitzis, you have much closer to Zohar, you should have the intent, as it says in the Zohar, "L'hamshich olav malchus yisborach, asher malchus kol olam," that you are drawing down God's kingship upon you. And it's like you're putting on his uniform, you're becoming his man. Yachdu alimli de mitzvazu to distinguish him for us as our God through this mitzvah. Vuki ingin sum pasim alechem melech. And this is including the commandment that you appoint a king over you. It's like the next thing that's coming out that you won't make it inside. It's like the concept outside. And then Thursday we'll see it inside. What happens if you do all this and you don't end up awestruck? Could happen, couldn't it? Well, so the author is saying, as long as you're working in that direction, then you're already doing it as service. In other words, ideally, you should be like Rosh Hashanah. When you're blowing the shofar should be an act of homage. The subjugation yourself taking it's like the coronation of the king. And as an act of fealty to the king, you should be like all out. And that should really be yours every day. But what if you don't reach that fear? It's okay. Because you know where you should be going, and that's already a voter. You're then doing it for him as opposed to doing it for yourself. In other words, what is the purpose? How do you start this chapter? That we need a voter, service of God, that our acts and Torah and mitzvahs shouldn't be just our desire to bond with him, but should be in his service. So ideally, that should be with heartfelt fear. But if it isn't, that's not terrible, because at least we've gone out of this idea of self-service, and we're now serving him. We'll see that all inside by on Thursday.